The first reading today, we hear the words, "Behold, a great priest who in his days pleased God and was found just in the time of wrath, he was made a reconciliation." Well, I don't think it's going to take a genius to recognize that we're living in a time of wrath. Things continue to ratchet up. The anger level is just through the roof. The violence keeps getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse. But we have to be able to look at what God is calling us to, because the day is going to come when God is finally going to have enough of this nonsense and he'll take care of it himself, because it's the only way it's going to work. But in the meantime, for those who are called, for instance, especially the Pope, the bishops, but any priest, is supposed to be that reconciliation. However, it's interesting that Our Lady has made very clear that the triumph of her Immaculate Heart is going to happen through a small army of victim souls, not generally priests and bishops, because most of them aren't willing to do it, but chosen souls whom God is allowing to suffer, to be that reconciliation, to be the ones offering sacrifice to the Lord. Obviously, we have the sacrifice of Christ, which is infinite and beyond all others. But it is the charity of the hearts of these people who are willing to suffer in union with Jesus, to offer their sufferings in union with the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. That's where the power that is going to convert souls comes from. That's where the power that's going to purify the church comes from. When we look at what's going on, I don't think any of us would deny that there is some serious purification that needs to happen. But how is it going to happen? It's not going to happen because we're sitting here wringing our hands and saying something needs to be fixed. That's pretty obvious. Unfortunately, at this point, it's not going to happen because of the people who are put in place to make sure that these things don't happen and to clean them up quickly if they do happen, because they're the ones causing it. They're not going to clean it up. They want it. So we have to learn then from what Pope John the 23rd said. When someone asked him, "How do you sleep at night with all the problems in the church?" He said, "I don't have any problems sleeping. I just say, Lord, it's your church. I'm going to bed." It's the Lord's church. He's going to fix it. Well, he's sending his mom to fix it. But in doing so, he's going to employ certain individuals to be able to do whatever it is that he's asking them to do. So if God is calling you to be a victim soul, it is generally to be hidden. It is to suffer silently. But it is also to suffer profoundly. The victim souls that I know keep telling me, "I don't think I can handle any more." It's like we're just getting started and they're just being crushed. So it's not something anybody lines up for and says, "I want to do this." But it's something that God calls a person to. He's maybe calling you to something like that, but it may be that he's calling you to something different. Whatever the case may be, what is important is doing whatever God is asking you to do. Each person's task is absolutely critical for the whole. If God is calling someone to suffer, then they need to suffer for the sake of everyone else. If God is calling someone to some form of service, then they need to do that for everyone else. If he's calling a person to a preaching task or whatever, then they need to do that on behalf of everyone else. Whatever it may be, you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as St. Paul lays them out, and we see that there are all these different things that are for the building up of the body. But in the meantime, when people keep asking, "When is Our Lady going to intervene? When are things going to happen?" All I can do is point out right now, it's like a snowball going down the hill. Things keep getting faster and bigger. And in the meantime, until it crashes, Our Lady's not going to intervene. She will intervene only when things are at their worst. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah said. This was in the office this morning. See the storm of the Lord. His wrath breaks forth. In a whirling storm, he bursts upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not abate until he has done and fulfilled what he has determined in his heart. And when the Lord, and when the time comes, you will fully understand. At that time, says the Lord, it will be the God, I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel and my people. Thus says the Lord, the people that escaped the sword have found favor in the desert. As Israel comes forth to be given his rest, the Lord appears from afar, and so on. So in other words, in the midst of all this, the people that God has chosen for himself at this time are not going to escape the suffering. They may escape the sword, but then they go out into the desert. In other words, it's not going to be a fun time. So no one's going to be able to sit back and say, oh, all of those people over there, thank goodness it's not going to be me. It's going to be all of us. When Our Lady appeared at Akita, she said fire will fall from the sky. She talked about how it will take the priests and the people, the good and the bad. So it's something that's going to affect everyone. Just as the evil in the world is affecting everyone right now. But that's where you and I have this choice to make. Are we going to remain faithful to the Lord? That's what this is all about. Why is God allowing all this evil? Why is God allowing all the infidelity? Why is God allowing all this stuff? Precisely to test people like you and me. To see if we will remain faithful. To see if we're going to go along with the crowd because everyone else is doing it. There is only one God. There can only be one God, and so we need to be faithful to him. If everyone else wants to go to a false god, and ultimately, if you break it all down, there can only be one of them, and it's Satan. We have a choice. Who are you going to serve? God's going to purify things. He's going to clean the house. We don't need to worry about that. We don't know when it's going to happen. Doesn't take a genius to look at it and say it's coming pretty soon. But we don't know when. Because I've been saying for 30 years, it's coming pretty soon. Well, pretty soon in God's time, he's infinite. So that can be a while. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But it's coming. The question is simply, are we going to remain faithful? That's not a rhetorical question. It's a practical one. Each one of us needs to answer that, not in a generic way, oh yeah, I'll be faithful, sure. Remember, we all heard that back in 2000. Oh, everything's going to crash, but I'll remain faithful. Where are all those people now? Well, the time came and it went, and things didn't happen the way they thought it was going to be, and they just wandered off. God's not stupid. He's not going to do it at the appointed time. That is, in our appointed time. He's going to do it in his appointed time. And it's not a question of whether or not he's going to remain faithful. It's a question of whether or not we are going to remain faithful. So when God's wrath breaks forth, and we have to understand, God doesn't actually get angry. He doesn't have emotions like we do. But it's the only way, in a human way, that we can understand it. But when this happens, it's going to be upon the whole world. And everyone is going to be repaid according to their deeds. And so if we are faithful and we live that fidelity, then we're going to be, as it says, saved from the sword. The people who escaped the sword found favor in the desert. God will take care of us. If we're faithful to him, he will certainly be faithful to us. But that's the key, is remaining faithful to him. It's not going to be easy. It's already not easy. Look at what's going on. 9 out of every 10 people baptized Catholic leave the church. They're leaving in droves. So the idea of being faithful sounds pretty easy until we look at what's going on and realize, no, it's not quite as simple as it sounds. It's a choice. It's a radical choice. And now we have to live it. It's not like things were years and years ago where pretty much everybody was living a decent life and most people went to church and so on. It's not happening anymore. So you can't just go along with the crowd. You have to make a choice to be different. You have to make a choice to be counted. You have to make a choice to stand out like a sore thumb in the midst of a society that has gone totally astray. Make a choice. Which is it going to be? You only have two options. As I keep pointing out, the devil will give you thousands of apparent options, but they all come down to him. God will give you one option. It's him. It's the truth. It's charity. We all know what we need to choose. Choose it. Look at the things going on, the absolute horrific things that are going on. And say, keep pointing out to you what the world needs today is saints. And that is exactly what God is calling you and me to be. To be able to be the saint in the midst of all of this. To be the light in the darkness. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to stand against what else is going on around us? That's hard because you're going to feel all alone. Everyone else is doing something different and you're weird. Praise God if that's the case. Because all that is going to be important is remaining faithful. You're going to stand before the Lord one day. Whether you remain faithful or you don't, you're going to stand before the Lord. The guy who buried the talent in the ground didn't fare so well. The people who used what they had, they were blessed. God has given you lots of graces, lots of blessings. Now he wants us to put those into practice, to live them out in the midst of this world that has gone astray. What a blessing that he is giving to us. As I've told you before, if you want to be a saint, there has never in the history of the church been a better time to be able to be a saint. This is a saint-making time. And you have the opportunity. You're alive today. You have the opportunity that Christians throughout history wished that they could have. You might say, well, good, they can have it. Sorry, they're already dead. You're alive. So guess what? You got it. Praise the Lord for the gift that he's given to you. And now embrace it and put it into faith. Put it into practice. That's what he's calling you to. So don't worry about all the junk going on. We need to worry about souls. But stuff's going to happen, and it's going to get worse. Let it. Because we can rejoice. That means we're a day closer to Our Lady intervening and putting an end to this nonsense. In the meantime, it is an opportunity for us to grow in holiness. So make the best of the opportunity. Choose the Lord, choose to do his will, and in so doing, become a great saint.